Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Who's been on a vacation so far this summer? Anybody? Anybody? Awesome, awesome. Who has not been to the beach yet? Oh, awesome, awesome. Well, we're going to get to that here in just a minute. But before we do, hey, we've got an incredible pastor and his wife, and they are on vacation at the beach. Well, maybe not that beach. But let's take a moment. Could y'all pray with me for our pastor and his wife? Can y'all do that? Come on. Lord God, we just thank you so much for Pastor Greg and Megan. Lord, they are precious to us, and we're so grateful, Lord, that you have sent them to us. We ask you, Lord, just to give them rest and peace. Lord, help them, God, to just enjoy some family time together to unwind. And Lord, we pray that you would just protect them and to bring them back safely. And we thank you so much for them. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, this is not a little weird. Okay, this is an illustrated sermon. I'm not wearing a dress. Okay. We want to get into our core values. At the beginning of the year, we sit down as a team. Pastor Greg wanted to take this year to really teach on our core values, what we are, what makes us tick here at the assembly. And one thing that makes us tick is equipping for ministry. And I want to read this to you because it comes from Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. It's something that we use too when we start our Fuel discipleship up next week. But it says right here, it says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Everybody say, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to what? Equip God's people to do what? To do the work. That's right, to build up the body of Christ. And you know what? God has given us, this church, a responsibility to make what? What are we supposed to make? Disciples. Everybody say disciples. That's the goal. That's what Jesus came for, to make disciples. He made them and he carried on. But it says, you know what? If we had to fulfill this command as individuals, wow, we might as well just throw in the towel and go home. Because that's not how it was supposed to be made. No, he gave it to the church. And the church is us. It's you guys. We're to make disciples together. That's what we're to do, to fulfill the command, the Great Commission, to go out to all the worlds and make disciples. Well, today we're going to talk about equipping for ministry, because that's what we're called to do. Everybody that is a born-again believer, that's a lifelong follower of Jesus, that's their job, is to be equipped for ministry. Wow, that's it right there. Well, here in just a few minutes, just to let you know so I don't forget, we're going to be baptizing 5 kids at the end of the service. Woohoo! So parents, if your children are 3 and up, preschool and through kids' church, they're going to come over here and we're going to send them down up front so we can all celebrate together that 5 kids decided that they wanted to get baptized to show everybody that Jesus Christ was our Lord and Savior. So that's what we're going to do. Nursery, you'll still have to go back and pick them up at the nursery. We won't bring them down. But let's get back to the beach. Yeah, who would like to go to the beach? Well, I need a couple of people to fill these 2 chairs up this morning, because today's all about ministry. It's all about serving, because serving is ministry. So let's throw away the beach a second. Who would like to go to Gilligan's Island? Oh, yeah. Well, that's what we need. Give me some music as I find me a couple of people to sit in our chairs.
Just sit right back and hear a tale.
Ahoy! Let me find me a couple of swaggies.
And started from this topic point aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty
sail. Oh, there's a couple right over there just laughing out of their head.
A three-hour tour.
Oh, come right over here. Let me get this around you right there. Welcome to Gilligan's Island. Oh, yeah. No, hey, that was mine right there. Awesome. Come on up, young lady. Yes, you get a little bit of taste of Gilligan's Island. There you go. Go on up there, guys. Woo-hoo. Oh, the millionaire and his wife. Here on Gilligan's.
So this is the tale of our castaways.
You know exactly where to go, to the pink side. Now there's a little instrument you can serenade your little wife right there. So I spare no expense today as you get the luxury, the VIP seats. That's right, because you're here to be served. Oh, and so let's just find out. Right inside of here, I've got, got some nice yummy. Are you thirsty? How about a little fried patty right there? Oh, yeah, here you go. I told you, I spared no expense today. You might have to work on that a little bit, but at least I popped the top for you. Yes, now, are you relaxed? Are you relaxed? You good? Okay. Well, inside here, I got some. Would y'all like to see what they're going to get today? Hello? Okay. Right here. Y'all like a little grapes? Oh, yeah. Here's some little grapes. Grapes for you. Yeah, you need grapes at the beach. Yes, here's some grapes for him over there. Oh, yeah. Here it is right here. Oh, yeah. Chocolate-covered strawberries. Oh, that's for the little lady right here. You're welcome. Now, you can't eat with that with your fingers, so let me pull this over here, because inside of this, because this is all about ministry, it's about serving one another. And who gave us the greatest example of all about serving others? Come on, he did. Think about that. God left from heaven, came to earth as the Son Jesus, and he gave us the greatest example to follow. And so right here, I heard you like bananas there, sir. There's your banana, and here's you another banana. And let's see. Oh, what do you got to have for bananas? Chocolate to dip it in. Hello, yeah. There you go right there, sir. Yep. All right. Also, too, when you get done with your frappe there, you got some ice cold water in there. Also, too, I got some dessert, too, for you after you get done nibbling on it. You don't have to eat it all, but this right here is from Randy's Cakes and Cupcakes. Woo! Probably not as good as Kelly's, but we'll find out. Awesome. Oh, you need some napkins right here. Here you go. There's your napkin right there. And, of course, we don't want you to eat with your fingers. That would be kind of barbaric on the island, on Gilligan's Island. And there's you one there, too. Awesome. Let's see. Make sure you got everything. You good? All right. You got some flamingos around you. You're good. You got your pail right there. You can go crabbing. Who likes to go crabbing on the beach? Well, think about it. If you're on Gilligan's Island, it's about all you had to eat was coconuts and crabs. Okay, so there you go. Okay, y'all set. You can dig a little hole a little bit. What are you doing, sir? Okay. Are y'all good? Is it okay to eat in front of a couple hundred people? Well, let's begin here today in our Equipped for Ministry. And a few weeks ago, we were sitting down, and Pastor Addison, he has great ideas. He really does. And so we were like talking about equipping for ministry, and he says, man, this is the verse we got to use. So we're going to take this verse, and we're going to preach on this verse all month long, except for next Wednesday. Everybody say next Wednesday. Next Wednesday is going to be an incredible service. It's going to be a family service. We're going to do things like we haven't done before in here. See, y'all ready for that? Now, let's get ready to bring our families. It's not a family service without what? Family. So all the kids, everybody, we're going to be together. We're going to squeeze in here. It's going to be a wonderful time. So we're going to take a break from this, but we're going to look where ministry actually starts next week. It's really great. You don't want to miss it. But let's look at this. So this verse we're going to look at today comes from 1 Corinthians 15:58. And it says, so my dear brothers and sisters, and that would be, hello? Yo, hello. Hola. Hola or aloha. So it says, be strong and immovable. Everybody say that. Be strong and immovable. Always work with the enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever what? Useless. Now think about that. Everything we do for the Lord is never useless. Think of all the things that we need to do inside the church, and not just inside the church, because ministry is not just in this building. It's in our homes. It's in our workplace. It's in Walmart. Man, hang on. I know y'all heard about the news yesterday in Walmart. Man, how terrible is that? Something's got to change. But I don't want to get off track. But when I said Walmart, it just reminded me of what happened yesterday in Texas. Man, let's keep praying for those people. And let's pray for those families in that community, because that's horrible. If you haven't heard about it, just check on the news. But ministry is everywhere. God has given us incredible opportunities. Y'all good over there? You enjoy the strawberries okay? They're straight from Kroger. Okay. You're trying to play a little music there? Is your bananas good? Are they too green, too soft, or are they just right? I picked the right ones. I told you I spared no expense, okay, on your little luxury vacation there. But it says right here, but we need to be strong and immovable. So that's what we're going to look at today, being strong and what? Immovable. Now that's tough. That means I've got to have a little oomph in me. Well, not actually, but we have to be determined. We have to be strong. But during our Bible app, those of you who are reading with us in our Bible app, I remember the day that God spoke to me about what we're going to talk about today. Not on this verse, but where we're going to go to. But it was on June 27th. We just got back from Oklahoma from serving Church of Miami, Oklahoma. We did a kids event there for a week. And we were worn out. I came back and we were reading our Bible app. And I read this and I made a note on that comment. For those of y'all making comments, please do. They're encouraging. If you don't know what I'm talking about, where's Danetta at? Danetta, raise your hand. If you don't know anything about the Bible app, see Danetta and get plugged in with us as we learn the Word together. And we can encourage one another through this Bible app. But I remember this and it stuck out to me. It stuck out so much. And then when Pastor Greg says, I want you to speak on this, it was just like the lights just went off. Because this is where we're at. And I never saw this before. Isn't that kind of funny? When we read God's Word, sometimes we don't see it until all of a sudden He decides to allow us to see something. And this is what I saw. So we're going to look at Matthew 14, 13 through 21. So if you want to follow along, it's going to be on the screen. You can, if you have a bulletin, pull out your notes. Because we're all about ministry here. This is one of our core values. This is who we are. And we have to be strong and we have to be immovable. And we have to. But it says here, Jesus said, this was one of the big miracles He did at first. And it says here, verse 13, as soon as Jesus heard the news. Well, what news did He just hear? Well, He just heard about John the Baptist being killed. And it broke His heart. And so He just heard the news. So what did He do? He left in a boat to go to a remote place to get alone. Now let's stop right there a second, because Jesus was a man. At this time, He was a man. He was God, but He was a man. He had feelings. And we know how it feels to lose somebody, especially somebody close to us. It's horrifying. It's devastating. And so He goes to a place to get alone. You see, what we've got to realize here, ladies and gentlemen, that we've got to seek that solitude place for ourselves. We've got to find that place to get alone with God, just like Jesus did. Everything that Jesus did, He set an example of, even serving this couple here. And the reason why I picked this couple is not because she's my daughter or my son-in-law, but they're going to play a good point in this. They didn't know this was going on at all. But they play an important part of what we're going to talk about just in a few minutes. But you see, although we know at this time Jesus heard about John the Baptist, He made it a priority in His life to have alone time with His Father. Are you making it a priority in your life to make alone time with God, with Jesus? Is it a priority in your life? It has to be. Jesus led by an example. And that's something that we should do. We should follow His example in everything that He does. You see, our alone time with our Father is vital for us to nurture our relationship with Him and for Him to equip us to continue the ministry. Because if we don't do it, if the church doesn't do it, then who's going to do it? Nobody. We have to learn by Jesus' example what to do. Ministry is not just for the selected few, but it's for all. In church, out of church, it's during our private place in our prayer closet that we find new strength. One verse that we're looking at this summer with our kids is Isaiah 40:31. We're taking a verse and we're teaching it every week, and we're getting them to learn it. At least we hope we are. And today they're talking about putting God first. Well, what a coincidence. We've got to put God first. But Isaiah 40, 31, he says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength." Or another version says they find new strength. You see, Jesus knew where he had to go. Jesus knew what had to be done. And so that's where he went. "They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." Jesus knew the word. He is the word. He was the word. And he knew where he had to find the strength to do it. So let's continue on. "But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns." You know, it's really interesting if you really look at this right here. Jesus knew that the crowd was going to follow. He knew that they were going to follow him. So it says here, "So Jesus saw this huge crowd and he stepped back from the boat and he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves.'" Did you catch what happened right here? This is where I stopped at on June 27th. The crowds, the disciples said, "Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and they can buy food for themselves." They were allowing somebody, they wanted somebody else to serve them than Jesus and than them. You see, that's where we have to be strong and immovable. They were looking at something that seemed impossible. But it wasn't impossible because Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do. Jesus, knowing they would follow him, brought to them to this remote place to demonstrate the love of his Father. He had more than one plan here. One plan to teach his disciples a lesson on serving. To show them our Heavenly Father will take care of their needs. So how quick they were to allow someone else to serve the people. Let's stop right there. How quick they were. They were so ready. "Just send them away, Jesus. Just send them away. They can serve them. We don't have the means to serve them." Wow. We do have the means to serve. Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do. And he was taking the people through this process of preparing them for ministry. Y'all doing good over there? You're done. You ready for dessert? You ready for dessert? You like your strawberries and grapes?
Delicious.
You need some water? Are you good?
Good.
All right. I have right here, I don't know what this is. It's a cupcake. It fell. Now, this one right here I know is good because I had one yesterday. It's a strawberry icing chocolate covered. Cherry icing. Yes, it's delicious. Y'all can have that right there.
Thanks.
Enjoy it. Okay. So what did they do? "We don't have time resources," they were thinking. You know what? We have to realize too that we have to reach out to Jesus when it's our time and resources. It says here that, "But Jesus said, 'That isn't necessary.' He says, 'You feed them.' 'But we only have 5 loaves and bread and 2 fish,' they answered. 'Bring them here,' he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up towards heaven, and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted. And afterwards, the disciple picked up the 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the men and the women." So it was probably a total of 10,000 to 15,000 people that they were looking at having to feed that day, that they were looking at having to serve. Even if it was 5,000 people, that would seem impossible, don't it? How could 12 people serve 5,000 people? You see, when we move by compassion, the way that Jesus was moving, we can use what little he has given us to make a lot out of. He can take a little bit of your time if you would just move with the compassion that Jesus had, and he can make your time and multiply your time. He can multiply your talents and abilities. He can multiply your resources, your treasures. But something has to move us, and that's compassion. When we look out upon the crowd of people, we've got to move with compassion. We've got to realize that somebody has to be over there with the kids. Somebody has to be there. Somebody has to be with our nurseries. Somebody has to be in our preschool room teaching our kids. We have so many opportunities here in the assembly to serve. We can keep going on and on and on. We have areas that we don't have people serving in that we do need people serving in. Because we have to be able to be moved by compassion. About looking out at people and seeing them the way that Jesus saw them. He looked at them and he loved them. And he realized that he wanted to leave an example for us to follow. You see, equipping for ministry is one of the greatest examples. It's not only for a chosen few, but for all that have been chosen. Each and every one of us have been chosen to fill a place of ministry, not just in the church, but outside the church. Are we taking every opportunity? Are we being strong and immovable in our lifetime of looking for areas and opportunities where we can serve as Jesus served? That's what we've got to do. We've got to find our strength in Him. We've got to find our place in Him. Well, it was really kind of funny. It wasn't too long after that. I don't know how long it was where Jesus came to feed the 4,000. In my Bible, it was just like one page over. I don't know how much time it was in actual life. But they forgot. They forgot how Jesus provided for them before. How much do we forget how Jesus provides for us? Now, this is about ministry. This is about serving opportunities that we have to bless people. To help reach people for Him. And that we all have a valuable place for us to fill in the body of Christ. And I liked what John 14:12 says. You see, at the end of Jesus' life, He knew that He was about to go. And he says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do works that I have been doing and will do them even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And you may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it." And then Jesus said, and he gave an incredible example to follow. An incredible example. So if we can picture for a moment Jesus as God, and he comes to his disciples, and he comes to them, and he's at their last supper, at the last moment of his life, and he left an impression that they would never forget. Because I guarantee you, after he died and he rose again, and they begin to do the ministry that he called them to do, they remembered this. Because Jesus says, "I've got to wash your feet. Sir, I've got to wash your feet." And he did. So Jesus, being who he was, Jesus being who he was, yeah, take off your boots, sir. Can you imagine? Jesus says, "Hey, Peter, I need to wash your feet." Well, Peter didn't want him to do that. He says, "Whoa, you're not going to do that, Pete. You're not going to do that, Jesus." And Jesus is like, "You don't understand what I'm doing now, but soon you will." But can you imagine this? Because what Jesus was doing was set aside for the servants, the slaves. That's who were typically washing the feet in somebody's home. It was them. But Jesus lowered himself to that position. And the Bible says that he took off his robe. He took off his robe. Don't worry, I'm not naked underneath it. He took off his robe, and Peter is like, "Whoa, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, man, you can't wash my feet. You can't do that." And he says, "Peter, I've got to do it. I've got to wash your feet." And Peter's like, "No, Jesus, go ahead and wash everything. Wash my whole body. Just wash it." And he says, "No, you don't need to do that." And so he took Peter, and he gave an example, and he washed their feet. as an example to follow. It's okay, I got a towel for you, bro. It doesn't hold water too much, but it'll work. Let me get the other one. Now, don't worry, I'm not coming to you. But Jesus himself left an impressive example for us to follow. It's to serve one another. And I bet you then, and Jesus says, you don't understand what I'm doing now, but later on you will. And later on they did, because they finally got it. They finally realized. And once the church began, once Peter and the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and with power, and they began to preach the message, and people began to get saved, and people began to get baptized, the church started to grow. And they realized that the church needed people to help make the functions of the church to work. Just like we've got to realize, we need you. We have so many incredible opportunities for you to feel to serve in. You see, when you begin to serve, something begins to happen in you. You feel like there's a purpose and a place for you. You feel bigger. You feel like a picture of a bigger example to follow. You start feeling full of joy when you're fulfilling something and you're being a part of changed lives. It's whether you're back there with these guys and they're looking back at your heads, but they're being a part of the same process of making disciples. Right now, we have 27 preschool in one room. We need more teachers. We need to split our teachers up. We need people on a rainy day just to walk out in the parking lot with an umbrella and bring people in just to show love and compassion. Do we not have that love and compassion when it's just pouring down rain? And we're like, ha, here they come in. They're running. Look, Joe, they're running. Open the door. Or would it be better if we allow compassion to move us? Do you realize compassion is a driving force within us? And that's what Jesus was demonstrating. It's a driving force. Compassion will get you to do things you've never done before, will send you to places that you have never been. Compassion will move you beyond your comfort zone. But Jesus gave us that example to serve others, to put others first. Thank you, guys. Y'all can have a seat. Hope you enjoyed your little R&R. Yeah, you can take your drink with you. Give him a round of applause. You got nice, clean feet now. They didn't stink either. That's my son-in-law, Quentin, and my daughter, Felicia. But Pastor Greg, when he was talking to us about this, he says, I want you, Dave, to talk about the three P's. The three P's. You see, there's three things that are going to keep us out of ministry. Three things. Travis, that's your cue, the three P's. As we knew he would forget, he said, no, you got to tell me, I'm going to forget. There's a little hand clap right there. Yeah, go ahead. They were wanting to, Travis. But you know what? There is the three P's. The three P's keep us out of ministry. What are those? It's our priorities. You see, when you begin to even think about and you begin to speak about ministry, Satan's going to come in and try to get you out. He's going to start putting thoughts. He's going to start telling you you're not good enough. But the priorities, where are our priorities today? We don't make ministry priority in our lives. And it's sad, of all the years I've been in this church, and I was saved in this church in 97, I have seen a lot of people come and go. Seen a lot of people give their life to the Lord and be baptized. But what I have noticed over the past 10 years, and it's just not here, as I talk to other pastors and friends, what we see is people's priority of even coming to church is going down. We see a few every week, the same. But how can I and my wife teach your children? And how can our preschool teach your children if they're not there every week? I understand we've got vacations and stuff, but what are our priorities in our life? And that's one thing is that when I was raising my children, and still am with Lily, we always went to church. Church was a priority in our life. There was a time that we went to Wisconsin to visit my brother, and I found a little Assembly of God church. We went there. Because it's a priority in our life. But Satan wants to keep you out of that because he knows that when we don't work together, he's winning. But when we work together, we're so strong and immovable, he can't do anything about it. What's the second P? The second P is problems. We allow our problems to keep us out of ministry. Everybody's got problems. That's why we're here. We all got problems. I've got them. We all got them. Don't allow your problems to keep you out of doing what God wants you to do for other people. It's those hardships and troubles that I've been through that made my compassion even move stronger. When I went through a divorce and when I've lost a son and sicknesses and financial issues and troubles in our business and on, I didn't stop. Because I set my priorities and I told Satan, not today, Satan. Not today, you're not going to feed me that stuff. We can't allow our problems to keep us out. And we can't allow people to keep you out. Oh, I've got an issue with this guy over here or this girl over here. Man, we all got issues. Get out of that. Let's go beyond that. Let's go beyond that and let's fix things. We got troubles, what does the word say? It says go to them and make things right. Because we're allowing that to keep you out of ministry and keep you out of church. Satan's winning. And he's doing a good job of it because we see it so much. Y'all see it. A lot of y'all know what I'm talking about. And I want to close right here. And Jesus said, Mark 10, James and John, sons of Zebedee, they were arguing. Hey, I want to be on your right hand and left hand when you go to heaven. You know, the other 10 disciples heard that and they got upset with them. How dare you! The Bible says they became indignant with James and John. And Jesus called them all together and he said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Not so with us. And he says, instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus, God Himself, served, no matter how hard it was, no matter how tired He got, He served. Well, that's Jesus, He's God. If you got Christ in you, you've got Him living in you, and you can do it too. You just got to quit listening to those thoughts telling you you can't and start saying, I can. Because you can. Because everybody in this room has a valuable gift to use. A valuable gift. And we'll find a place for you. Because you're all special in God's eye. And God loves each and every one of you. And the last verse right here in John 17:5, when Jesus knew they were about to come and arrest him, he says, I brought glory to you here on earth, Father, by completing the work you have gave me to do. Will you say that one day? When it's your time to go home, are you going to say, God, I finished. I finished the work you gave me. I even went beyond. They asked me to be a door greeter. I took an umbrella in the rain. Check me out. Hey, I served in preschool, and I even changed diapers. I mean, nursery, and I even changed diapers. Yeah, we don't do that in preschool. We just get not going there. But he says, now, Father, bring me into your glory. We shared before the world began. And that's where we are. But one thing is that has been really set on my heart is priorities. And I know that some of us in this room, we battle, what is my priority in life? What is it? What is your priority in life? Only you can answer that, but God wants to help you answer that today. He wants you to help get your priorities straight in life. Because He loves you that much, and He cares about you that much, to use you in every area possible to continue the mission. Because without us, the mission goes nowhere today. It stops. And that means too many people are never going to know about Jesus. Too many people are never going to know about the love that He has. Too many people will never find that joy. Too many people will never find that opportunity, a place to serve. And so, before we start baptizing some kids today, I want you just to bow your head and just take a moment with God. Just take a moment and check, what have you been exampling as your priorities in life? What has been your example of what is important to you? There's some great verses that we know. Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Some of you serve and you serve and you serve and you serve and you're tired. I get it. I'm tired. I was so tired Friday. And I took my Sabbath and I found rest in Him and I found new strength in Him. But my priorities are to serve God, and nobody's going to push me out of the way. Nobody's going to stop me. If you're here today and you're struggling with getting your priorities straight with God, make it right where you are today, and then just make that change. I'm not going to ask anybody to stand up or anybody to raise their hand. I don't want you to feel awkward. Oh, look at me. Oh, I got my priorities all mixed up. But you know who you are, and God knows who you are. So, Lord God, I just pause in this moment. Allow you to speak into their hearts. And I bet you've already been speaking to them for a long time. Maybe they just got a little numb to your voice. Maybe today is what they needed to hear, God. Speak into our hearts, God. We got a wonderful church, wonderful family, wonderful community. I ask you, God, to help us to get our priorities straight today. And I ask you, Lord God, to forgive us for those who have been really battling with this. Just forgive them. We ask you, Lord God, as we just give our lives to you to help us. We can't do it without you. We can't do it without you, God. Let each one in here, God, know in their hearts how valuable they are to you and how valuable they are to ministry. Said amen.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.